Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Zayin, and we're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins, Maskef lo Yehuda bereder b'shimen min Pazi. What is this all about? As you recall, going back to Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara told us a story. Halfway down the Amid, Heyed Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz ben Chomov shel Reb Meir. Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz, who was the shvugar or the nephew of Reb Meir, told the following edus. In other words, he attested to the following fact, Lefnei Rebbe, about Reb Meir. What about Reb Meir? She'ochel alei or ola shel yerek b'beit she'an. Beit she'an is a city north of Eretz Yisrael. And he said that Reb Meir, my shvugar, my uncle, went and ate there an ola shel yerek, a leaf of yerokos, of vegetables, in Beit she'an, without giving any trumos or maestris. Wow. As a result, v'hiter Rebbe, and therefore Rebbe was matir, et Beit She'an kula al yodai. Based on this testimony of Yeshua ben Zeruz, Rebbe said, okay, if that's the case, we no longer need to go and give trumos or maestris in Beit She'an from this tremendous story. Reb Meir, the God of Lador, if Reb Meir didn't go and give trumos or maestris, apparently this was not required. Now we're up to our Gemara, Maskev lo Yehuda bereid Reb Shimon min Pazi. The assumption is, if Reb Meir said you don't need to give Trumas and Maestris, it must be because Beit She'an is not part of Eretz Yisrael. It's in the north, and perhaps therefore it's considered to be part of Lebanon or Syria or whatever country would be appropriate. Freitimor imikel amanti yomar, Beit She'an la Eretz Yisrael. How could that even be? How could you even have such a hava mina? Voksiv. Go look in the Psukim, and the Psukim tell us, V'lo yehoyrish menashe es beis she'an v'es b'no yiseo, v'es tanach v'es b'no yiseo. At the time of Yehoshua, when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael to go and have the 14 years of kibush v'chiluk, in many, many places, they were in fact very successful, and they drove out all of the Canaanim, and they took over those cities. However, what the Pasuk tells us about Menashe, that Menashe was not as successful. When he got to Beit She'an, and he got to Tanach, Es Ben Yisrael, and the suburbs, Menashe was not able to drive out all of the local citizens. They remained there, and the Psukim continue on in Nach, telling us that they have them stay to go and pay taxes and act as civil servants on behalf of the Jews that just moved in. Okay, so what do I see from that? Menashe was not Moirish Beit She'an. Obviously, that means it's a part of Eretz Yisrael. Because if it's a part of Chutz La'aretz, then we wouldn't even be talking about it. The only, the whole focus of Yeshua and Shoftim is about Klal Yisrael entering into Eretz Canaan, subsequently to be called Eretz Yisrael, and taking over. He's not going to tell us, oh, by the way, they didn't go and capture Paris, and they didn't go and take over London. If it's not part of Eretz Yisrael, then we're not talking about it. So L'chaira, I see from this Beit She'an was part of Eretz Yisrael. If it's part of Eretz Yisrael, then why Taka didn't Reb Meir go and give Trumas a Maestris when he ate there from the Ola Shel Yerek? Everything Gemara Ishtamitzei Hodar Mishimin Ben Elyoka Mishum Rebluzim Ben Pedos Sh'oma Mishum Rebluzim Ben Shemua. I thought you would be very delighted to see the two Rebluzes back to back. Rebluzim Ben Pedos being the Amoira, saying the name Rebluzim Ben Shemua, who was the Tana. And what does it say? It says that Ishtamitzei, the person who asked this question, Yehuda Bered Rebshimin Ben Pazi, forgot about what Rebshim El Yaakov had said in the name of these two Reblozers, that Harbei Kerochim Kovshim Oili Mitzrayim Vilei Kovshim Oili Bovel Vikosovar Kedush Rishoyne Kitcher Lashata Vilei Kitcher Liosid Lovai. This question about Kedush Rishoyne Kitcher Lashata or Kitcher Liosid Lovai, this is a machloikis that runs through Shas. And what the Gemara is telling us is that this man the Yomer holds, Harbei Kerochim Kovshim Oili Mitzrayim, in the times of Mitzrayim, when the people went up in the times of Yehoshua, then they were koivished tremendous amounts from Eretz Yisrael. For the Kovshim Oile Bavel, however, in subsequent years, the Oile Bavel, referring to the Babylonians, not the Babylonians, referring to at the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, when Ezra and Nehemiah went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the binyan of the second base of Mikdash, then many of the towns and cities that were in Eretz Yisrael, they did not conquer them a second time. And we'll see in a moment why they didn't conquer them. But as a result, the original Kedusha that was instilled in all of these places in Eretz Yisrael, as a result of the original Kibush v'chiluk in the times of Yeshua, they didn't reinstate them. If you wanted it to be further Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, you had to do a second Kibush at the time of the Oile Bavel. But they didn't. Now, why taka didn't they? Says, because the Aniyim would otherwise chas v'shalom starve during the Shemitah year. So therefore they wanted to have certain places in Eretz Yisrael, which would be like an oasis in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, where the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the moshel during Shemitah year, you were not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to harvest. So the owners of those places, they would take whatever they could for their families. Of course, they'd have to keep it only until Zman Bior. After Zman Bior, they'd have to go and put it out again into the fields. But the point is that a normal, regular year, the Aniyim have the benefit of the Leket, the Shikha, the Peya, the Matnas Aniyim. They're not going to have that in the Shemitah year. So therefore, they left over small little pockets here and there that they were not Kovesh, so that they should have the status just like Chutz Loretz. And therefore, the Aniyim will have Parnasa in that year. So therefore, what the Gemara is really telling us is that Remeir told us now through his actions or his inactions by not giving Trumas and Maises, the Beit She'an was one of those places, the Leikovshim Oile Bavel, and therefore they do not have the original Kedusha of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it has the same Kedusha like Chutz Loretz, no Kedusha, and therefore you don't have to worry about Shemitah, you don't have to worry about Trumas and Maises, etc. Yes?
If they weren't Kodesh, then they belonged to someone else. What do you mean? Like, how is this like just open fields that you could just come and... I don't get it. So if they didn't conquer, then they belong to some other occupying force.
The conquering hero is not only talking about the physical, it's also talking about the spiritual. In other words, I'm assuming that in Beit She'an, most of the people there were Jews, or maybe they lived together with their Arab neighbors, Efshiyo, Efshinish. But the point is, they did not go and consecrate them once again to go and establish them as part of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael for purposes of Trumas and Maisris. So therefore you were off the hook for Trumas and Maisris according to Rameh.
Don't we have like the idea with the Choma, if it goes to back to the days of Yeshua, so we don't apply that here?
The Choma is referring to like Yerushalayim. Yes.
Meaning for the sake of Purim, meaning whether it's on Yudalit or Tesva.
That's right. A very, very valid point. But that's unrelated to this, because for instance, in Shushan itself, I've never been in Shushan on Purim, but I'm assuming there too that they only have their Purim on day 15 and not on day 14. That's why it's called Shushan Purim. So it's not totally in Kedushas Aretz, it's totally on the physical, whether there was a Choma there at the time or there wasn't a Choma there at the time of Achashverosh and Esther.
I'm saying, isn't the whole thing, if they had a Choma going back to the days of Yeshua, that's what determines. So here the same thing,
that
it was part of Eretz Yisrael, but at the time of Yeshua, so why doesn't it retain this?
The Choma is, you're right, that's a historical point, that if it was in the times of Yeshua, then we say that it has the status of Shushan Purim. But that's unrelated to the question of Trumas and Maisus and Shvias, which has nothing to do with the Choma, it has to do with whether they were Kovesh and consecrated it, not only the first time, but also the second time.
But if it wasn't the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't Chayv in Trumas and Maisus.
That's right, exactly right. And so, that's why Rav Meir, Ochal Ola Shul Yerek B'Beit She'an. And that's why...
Isn't that depriving the Kohanim and the Levim of their matanos from those areas?
And then it was why they did that? I guess they felt that the concern regarding the Aniyim was a greater concern than the Kohanim and Levim.
You couldn't levy against the...
You couldn't levy, exactly. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Reb Zeira, v'harei Meir ola bi'almhu di ochel. I don't understand how you're bringing a raya, Rebbe. Rebbe brought a raya from Reb Meir, that because of the fact that he ate an ola shel yerek without giving trumas and maisers, is a chasimen that has the status of chutz laretz. For example, Reb Meir only ate an ola bi'alma, only a small leaf, and therefore, says Rashi, that means it was achilas aroi. Achilas aroi, even in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of Yerushalayim, you do not have to give trumas and maisers. You're only going and biting into something. You're, it's almost like chewing gum or What's chewing gum? Or sucking a candy. If you're talking about such a minimal thing, it's not that you're eating it for a suda, you're just taking a bite out of an olah. Even in places throughout Eretz Yisrael where they have the full kibush and the full kedusha, you don't have to give trumas and maizes because you're eating derech haroi. Amalei mi aguda achle. He pulled it out of a bundle of these olim. In other words, he had bundled together twice 100 or 500 of these leaves, pulled out one of them, and he made a bracha, and he ate it. And so what difference does that make? With Tanan, we learned, Yereka negan mishe ye oged. In the Masechtas, Maisris, etc., in Seder's Roim, it tells us when every individual type of growth or produce has its status of Gemar Malacha. Normally we say, for instance, by Dogon, when you have Miruach. Miruach means that you heaped all of flour on one place, then you smoothed it out, etc. However, when it comes to Yerek, says Agamara, says the Mishnah, if it's Yerek HaNe'egad, that normally this is sold in bundles, as soon as it's bundled up, that's its Gemar Malach. Ah, so that being the case, once there's a Gemar Malach, it's Mechayiv Trumas HaMaisus, even if you're eating it B'derech Aroi. Ah, so therefore, says Agamara, since Rav Meir plucked out this Ola Shel Yerek from the larger Aguda, the larger bundle, that's why he was Mechuyev, and the fact that he did not go and give Trumas HaMaisis is a siman that Beit She'an does not require Trumas HaMaisis. Maybe he wasn't thinking. In other words, he went and took this Ola Shel Yerek, which is a small little thing, and he ate it without giving Trumas HaMaisis, not because he held Trumas HaMaisis were unnecessary. Maybe he holds it was necessary, but he just wasn't thinking. You know, people can get absent-minded for misasik, right? So misasik is usually a different term for gabishchita. But fine,
Shabbos.
Yeah. Okay, good. But the point is that his mind was not focused on the fact that he's supposed to give Trumas HaMaisis, so by mistake. So you can't go and bring a raya from a mistake. Maybe, you know, if the Gemara would tell us that Rabbi Shub and Zeruz asked Rav Meir, tell me, Rav Meir, you didn't give Trumas HaMaisis. Oh, because it's Beit She'an, you don't have to give Trumas HaMaisis. But that wasn't the story. He just said, I saw him going and eating this Ola, and he didn't give Trumas HaMaisis. Maybe he forgot. He wasn't thinking. His mind was fatifed. He was thinking about the Gemara, about another daf, or whatever. Says Gemara, that's impossible. And we've quoted this Chazal already 3 or 4 times over the last few days. Maybe when you talk about a behema, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is careful that this behema should not go and be over any isurim. What is this referring to? Of course, the behema of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. We're going to talk about this at greater length on the bottom of the Amid and on top of the Amid base. The Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't allow a behema to have a takala. Tzadikim atzvalei koshkin, the Kaddish Baruch Hu would be careful about tzadikim not to allow for any takala of the Adon. In Yonei Achila, that they should go and eat something which is prohibited, because Baruch Hu wouldn't allow that. So therefore, it's impossible to say that Rav Meir ate without giving Trumas HaMaisris when there was a Chiyav and he wasn't thinking. Maybe he had other Alim Shel Yerek in his storage bin, and therefore, every time when we eat another Shel Yerek, he would always have in mind that I'm giving Trumas HaMaisis from that storage bin. Even though Mi'ikra Din, you're allowed to do that, you don't have to have both the place from which you're giving the Trumas HaMaisis and the food in front of you. You can do it from elsewhere. But the problem is, as we know, food that is stored elsewhere may not remain there forever. It can get lost, it can get stolen, or it can get fulfilled, it can get rotten. So therefore, a Chover would not give Trumas HaMaisis unless he had the source of the Trumas HaMaisis next to him, and therefore that cannot be.
Otherwise, it's a remote possibility.
After all, you're telling me that he pulled out one Ola from this large bundle, from this Aguda, so maybe he took out the Ola from the right side, and at the same time he had in mind that the Trumas HaMaisis on this Ola will be on the left side of the bundle. So in fact he did give Trumas HaMaisis on the spot without Reb Yeshua ben Zeruz being aware.
So he may have done it right.
He may have done it right, or on the left, exactly right. You see that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeirus is telling us this story about Remei. You think he's just telling us stories, Ba'alma? Yeah, by many, many books that are all stories, stories, stories. He's not telling us a story. He's trying to go and tell us a Dvar Halacha. If he went and repeated this story in front of Rabbi, he meant to say, I was very careful in eyeing exactly what Remeir did, and this is exactly what he did, and so therefore he did not give Trumas and Maisa, not from the right on the left, not the left on the right. He didn't give Trumas and Maisa at all. Oh, says Rabbi, if that's the case, then Beit She'an no longer requires Trumas and Maisa. Frank Dimar, we spoke about the Behemdot Shel Tzedikim. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you meant? My Behemdot Shel Tzedikim, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is careful that he doesn't allow them to eat a takola, eating something which is prohibited. The Gemara is first going to tell us about Pinchas ben Yair, what a great tzaddik he was. He was going on the path, on the road, the Pinyan Shvuyim, to go and redeem those that Chas V'Shalom had been taken, kidnapped. And Pogabei b'Ginoi Nara, as he's traveling, he comes to a river known as the Ginoi River. Unfortunately, there was no ferry, and there was no bridge, and how is he going to get over to the other side? So Omale said now, Reb Pinchas ben Yair, to the river, Ginoi, chaloik li meimecha, the Everbach. I want you to go and split yourself, so that I should be able to go through the Ginoi River to get to the other side. The Ginoi River was not a pushover, and said Omale, ata hoylech lasir ritzoyin koinach, vani hoylech lasir ritzoyin koini. You're going for Pinyan Shvuyim because you want to go and satisfy the Ratzon of Hashem, but I have the job of flowing, and I have to go and follow the Ratzon of Hashem.
And its job was current.
It was current, exactly, and it was flowing. It's Ata Sofik Oise, Sofik Iata Oise. Who knows whether you will accomplish your Pinyan Shvuyim? Maybe the kidnappers are not going to be interested in releasing the kidnappees. Anivade oise, but what I'm doing is for sure. Kodesh Baruch Hu created me to flow, and I'm going to continue flowing. So, you know, it's a ain't suffering moise me devade.
They said, don't gnoy me.
Don't.
Gnoy me.
Ah, very good. Amale, im hiata hoylech, gazrani alecha, shalay yavr b'chamayim li oylem. As you can see, Reb Pinchas ben Yair got a little bit upset, and he said, if you're not going to go and separate yourselves for me, to allow me to do my opinion shvuyim, because Rani Alech, I'm going to make a decree that you should never have any further water flowing into you. So essentially, you Ginoi River will be a dried out riverbed, and you're not going to have any flowing water anymore. Ginoi was not happy to hear that, and Cholakle and Ginoi River split on behalf of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. Now that's of course a tremendous ness on its own, but we're not done yet. There was another gentleman who was walking shortly after Pinchas ben Yair. He was carrying chitim for purposes of matzah on Pesach. Is omalei. So now says Pinchas ben Yair, chaloik le nami lahai. I want you to go and split for him as well. To be mitzvah osik, because he sees he's involved in mitzvahs. He's schlepping all these chitim so that people should have matzah for Pesach. Cholakle, and the River Ginoi split for him as well. It sounds like at this point that the Ginoi River had already merged back to its normal self, and as a result of the further bakosha of Reb Pinchas ben Yair, it split a second time. But we're not finished. Havahu Taya, a Taya, says Rashi, means an Arab merchant, who was accompanying them on the road. The love of Badayu, he was the escort, and now he's left behind. On Malay, Sir Pinchas ben Yair said to Ginoi River, Chaloik le nami lahai. I want you to go and open up and split for this Taya as well. To le lema, that people shouldn't say, Kach oisin lebnei levoya. This Taya, the Seicher Aravi, has gone all the way from wherever the trip began, all the way until here, and now we just kind of dump him and say, okay, now it's your problem, your headache to get to the other side of Ginoi. Do you think that that's right? Cholakle. So the Ginoi River split for him as well. Omer of Yosef, Kamenovish Gavra, can you see how great this person is? He's greater than Moshe Bishit and Ravon, greater than Moshe and 600,000. The Ilu Hasam Chad Zimna, in the times of Moshe Benu, he only split one time. V'hochat Losa Zimnan, and here he's splitting three times. Wow, can you imagine how great Reb Pinchas ben Yair was? Frank Dimara, you're jumping to conclusions. The Dilma. It's okay, that happens to me all the time too.
I'll take that.
This is one more. This is Bato.
Make a seat, make yourself comfortable. We're delighted that you're here. It's a special guest appearance. We're down here. Says the Gemara. Five lines to the bottom. Umr of Yosef, Kamen Nofesh, Gavra mi Moshe. Pinchas ben Yor was even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, Veshitin Ribavon, and the 600,000 that all passed through the Yam. Tilohasim, in the times of Moshe, Chadzimna. It was one Kriyas Yamsev. Yeah, that's tremendous, but it was only once. Vahachat Lasin Zimna, and here he splits Ginoi River three times. On behalf of himself, on behalf of the person who was bringing the Pesach Matzah, and on behalf of the Bnei Levoya. So Timora Nishkarai, Vidumahanami Chod Zimna. Who says that in fact it split three separate times? It could be that after Pinchas ben Yoir was on the other side of the Ginoi River, he said, Ginoi, wait one moment, don't automatically flow naturally, but leave room for that second individual who's schlepping the chitim for the matzis. And before he came to the other side, they saw the Bnei Levoya that are standing on the other side, and he said, don't merge, don't flow again, let that third person come over. So therefore, we have no right that it was three times. Maybe it was just one time.
He said that the people who didn't insult anybody from the time of the Bar Mitzvah could pass. Mm-hmm. So maybe it has to be three different times. Mm-hmm. Because
maybe, or maybe not. In other words, he's trying to go and say emphatically, look how great Reb Pinchas ben Yoir was, that the Ginoi River split three times. So it doesn't have to be three times. Maybe only split one time. And each time it was ready to go and merge and flow again, so Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir said, hold 1 minute, wait for number two, and wait for number three.
Maybe we can give him a pass.
Yeah. Give him a pass, exactly. Ellis says, you're okay, Rav Yosef, you're right. We're not talking about Nofesh Gabra mi Moshe, that this person's strength was even greater than Moshe. Ella, kim Moshe v'shitin rivan. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir had so many schusim, he was like Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Yam, or at least the Ginoi, split for him, just like in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, so the Gemara now tells us further, after we still haven't addressed the issue of the Behemdom Shel Tzadikim and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Al Yodin. And that's where we're getting to now. Iklahu Ishbiza. So now Rav Pinchas ben Yoir came to an inn where he was going to stay overnight. And the inn not only supplied rooms for people to stay, but they also supply food, and even for animals. Is Romule Sari Lechamre. They put down Sa'irim, barley, for the Chamor of Rav Pinchas ben Yoir. Loy Ochal. The Rav Pinchas ben Yoir's Chamor refused to eat. Chavtinu. And then they banged it. I would have thought Chavtinu means that they banged the Chamor. Says Rashi, no. They banged the Napa. Napa is the sieve to go and make the barley even cleaner than it was. Uh-huh. They figured the reason why the chamor is not eating because it wasn't clean food, and therefore he believes in hygiene and stuff of that nature.
I'm a funic.
Oh, says the Gemara lo yochal nishki gesen nakrinu. They cleaned it a second time. What's the difference between nakrinu and chavtinu? Rashi says chavtinu means that they used the sieve. Nakrinu means that apparently the sieve didn't do a perfect job, and so now they took their fingers and they plucked out from the sa'oirim any remaining pebbles or any remaining chaff, any psoilus, to really make it super duper. And guess what? Lo yachal. And the chamor refused to eat. Amalahu, Senar Pinchas ben Yoir says to the innkeepers, Tilmalu ma'asran. Maybe the reason why the chamor is not eating is because you didn't give ma'isris. Says, Ma'asrinu, biyachal. They listened, they gave ma'isr, and in fact, then Pinchas ben Yoir's chamor ate. Omar says, "Nar Pinchas ben Yoir, aniya zu hayleches lasis ritzoyin koina. This aniya, meaning this poor animal who's going together with me for purposes of pinyan shvuyim, so therefore it wants to do ritzoyin koina, a tremendous mitzvah. But atem machilim oisa tvolim, and you're giving it tevel to eat. Shh, you're being machshul my animal. Frey Timora, let me ask you a question: is it really necessary umi mechayva when you have animal food? Is it really necessary to go and give Truma some Maestris? Well, today we have a Mishnah. Halikeach lezera v'lebehema v'kemach li oirois v'shemen l'ner v'shemen losach boy es hakelim potter mi'ademai. The only time that you have to go and give maisris from demai is something that you're going to eat. All of these items that we just listed in the Mishnah, these are not for eating. Halikeach lezera, he went and bought some chitim, not to go and make out of them chalas or bread, but rather to go and take out the seeds and plant them in the ground. For the behema, or you bought it for cattle fodder, to go and feed to your animals. Or you bought kemach le'oires. Kemach, of course, is flour, and you used to use that to go and process any cow hides to go make it into leather. V'shemen lener, or you bought shemen for purposes of lighting the menorah for candles. V'shemen losa boyas akelim, and you bought shemen to be able to shmir on the kelim. Now, each one of these things, it's important, I need it, but I'm not going to go and eat from it, I'm just using them, having hanoah from it. Part to me, you don't have to go and give maisris, and based on that, this amoritz didn't give maisris, you don't have to worry about it, you can use it without that.
Because so maybe you just had a stubborn chamor.
Oh, exactly. So now the Gemara asks now, so oy bazoi, why did Reb Pinchas ben Yoris chamor be so machmir and not eat from this sa'oirim? Because it was afraid that they didn't give maisris. You don't have to give maisris on cattle fodder. We just said, halakeach lebehema, your potter. So what was the concern of Reb Pinchas ben Yoris chamor? If when you went to the store, you bought the chitim or sa'irim, you bought it specifically for the behemoth to go and eat, then you're right. Then it's not necessary to go and give maisers. If you originally bought it for the family, the reason why you bought the barley is because you wanted to put the barley in the chulin for Shabbos, and then afterwards you decided, no, I'd rather go and give it to my animal. Oh, in such a case, chayv li'aser. The reason why it's chayv li'aser is simple. Because once it became mechuyev in maisris the first time, when I bought it for the Adam, just because I changed my mind, I'm going to use it for behema, that doesn't take away the chayv maisris that was already there. And so therefore, the sa'oidim that they put out for a Pinchas ben Yoris animal was originally bought for human consumption. Now they changed it for behemoth consumption. Apparently a Pinchas ben Yoris chamor knew that, or even if it didn't, we had in the Amud Aleph, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe takola even to the behemoths of the tzaddikim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want that this animal should go and eat from the sa'oidim that were originally purchased for people, and now they changed it to go and give it to the behemoth. Says Mubatanya, and I'll bring you a raya that what I just said is accurate, because we learned how the keach peiris min hashuk la'achila. You bought peiris for purposes of eating. V'nimach aleim lebehema. Now you change your mind. You're going to give it to the behema. Harzeh lo yitin loy lefnei behemta v'loy lefnei behemes chaveira ela im kein iser. But didn't we just say in that previous Mishnah that if alekeach lebehema, you're potter mi'ademai? And here you're saying, halakeach peiros, and you're giving it up to behema, you're chayiv. Well, the answer is obvious, because this second braisa says that you originally bought it la'achila for human consumption, and now you change your mind for behema consumption, then you are chayiv. So this, we've now concluded the makor for the chazal that says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not maybe takola al yodan on the behemtum shel tzadikim, by this name of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. Now the Gemara continues on with Reb Pinchas ben Yair, that Shoma Rebbe, Rebbe heard that Reb Pinchas ben Yair was in local, and Rebbe figured, oh, if that's the case, let me invite him into my home, let me get a chance to be nehenna from the great tzidkus of this great tzaddik, Reb Pinchas ben Yair. Shoma Rebbe nofek la'peh, he went to go and greet him, and Omalein, he said to him, Ritzoin chasa'oid etzli, would you like to come and eat a meal in my home? Omaloi hen. Yes, I'm asking. I'm coming over. We're going to see in the Gemara shortly that Reb Pinchas ben Yair typically did not go to anybody else's home to eat. He didn't want to be nehenna from anybody else's yigia kapov. He only wanted to be nehenna from his own work, his own toil, and not from somebody else. But nevertheless, he said to Rebbe, yes, I'm ready, willing and able to come over. So Rebbe now gave a big smile, and his face radiated with the happy feelings that he heard Reb Pinchas ben Yair is willing to come to his home. So now Reb Pinchas ben Yair responds and says, Omaloi, Kimduma atosh mudr hani anomi Yisrael. Ani, do you think that I'm mudr hano, that I never go to any yid to go and eat, because I'm mudr hano, I swore against, or I prohibited myself by being madir, not to have an offer from anybody else. Chas v'sholem. Yisrael kedoy shemeim. All Jews are holy. Yesh roitze ve'ein loy v'yesh sheyesh loy ve'ein roitze. What is he saying? He says that there are two types of invitations. Yesh roitze, there are those people that want to invite you into their homes, anyway, but unfortunately they have no money, they have no food, and so therefore Nebuch, they can't invite you. And then there are others who are Baruch Hashem, people of means, that can invite and do invite, but they don't really want you to come over. They are quietly saying to him, I hope he's not going to accept the invitation. Oh, come on over, I shall be delighted, you'll join me for Kiddush. Halavai, he shouldn't come. There are those that have, but they don't really want you to come over after all. See, if you look at the Rashi's here on the left-hand margin, which is a little bit lower than where we are in the Gemara, but halfway down. There are those people that really want to give Hanoah from their own for others. He doesn't have enough food. If I'm going to come in and I'm going to go and eat some chulin or some kugel or some cake, I'm going to be denying the other family members of those food items. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. they can't afford it. V'yesh yesh yichodes biyodes, says Rashi. They have the yichodes, Baruch Hashem, they are people of means. Ben eroitzel on his achem, he doesn't want others to come in. V'alfa bisho oimer ba usoid, even though he gives them a big invitation, come on over, yeah, sure. Ein li b'chofetz, he really doesn't want him to come. V'eini nenami menu, I don't want to have hanor from someone who doesn't want me to come. Mishum dechsev, al tilchem lechem ra ayin. So that's what we're up to now in the Gemara. So therefore says, now Rav Pinchas ben Yor, if you've heard that I have a reputation of not going to people's houses, because I'm always concerned, one of those two, that the person can't afford it, or he can afford it, but he doesn't really mean it wholeheartedly, he'd be more than happy they don't come. Uksiv, on that second part, the word al tilcham over here doesn't have anything to do with milchama. It means to go and eat lechem. Don't go and eat lechem from a ra'ayin, from someone who has bad eyes. Bad eyes meaning that he looks with an ayin ro'o on guests and says, halavai, he should stay home. And don't have a taiva, don't have a yearning for his matam and for his food items. Why? Ki kemoi shar benafshe kenhu achol v'shasei yoyim alach v'liboi bal imach. Because this is the type of person who says, yes, achol v'shasei kum terayin, es and drink, but liboi bal imach, he's really hoping that you will turn down the invitation after all. V'ata, however, now Rav Pinchas ben Yor is finished with his statement, and he says, V'ata, you, Rebbe, roitze, I know that you bona fide want me to come. V'yesh loch, and after all, you happen to be one of the biggest Ashirim in the generation, Rebbe and Antoninus, Yeshlecha, and therefore, Avada, I would certainly want to come to you without question. However, I cannot come at the moment. Miyahashta misharvina to memilza to mitzvah kotarachna. At this time, I'm going to have to turn down your request, only because I'm still in the middle of my pidgin shvuyim, and I haven't finished. But Mir Hashem, when I come back, I'll be done with my mitzvah, then I'll be delighted to come to you. So what happens? Ki Hadrana, when Itaka came back subsequently, Asina, he came to the house of Rebbe, Ailna Ligaboch, and he went into the house of Rebbe, Ki Osa Isrami Ol Bahu Pischa Dava Kaimin Bey Kudnaisa Chivrisa. He didn't come through the front door of Rebbe's house, as would have been expected. He went through some back door somewhere, and there in the back door, what he came across was chibrasa are white, kudnaisa are mules, white mules. Mm-hmm. And as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, white mules had a terrible, terrible reputation of being chas v'sholem, very dangerous. Mm. And therefore, says now Rav Pinchas ben Yor, Omer, malach ha-mobis b'beis ha-shol zeh, bani esoit etzloi, he's providing residence to these white mules that chas v'sholem are malach ha-mobises, and I should go into his house. Shoma Rebbe heard that Rav Pinchas ben Yor came by, and that he was not coming in because of the white mules. Nafak la'apei, he came to greet him. Amala, Ms. Vinalahu, don't worry, I'm going to sell them immediately today. I won't own them anymore. You'll be able to come in. Then you cannot just go and sell it to anybody without telling them the dangerous propensities of these animals. Absolutely. And once you tell them and write on the resume, by the way, this animal is very dangerous, you're not going to have a lot of koinim. Okay, Mufkaranalu says, Rabbi, I'm just going to be mafkir them. I'm not going to sell them. I'm going to make them hefker. It won't be mine anymore. He says, that's not a good idea, says Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Mafshir says, Eker. If you're going to just let them go free in the forest, in the jungles, or wherever, then chas v'sholom, a person may go into that forest, and chulil v'chas, you're going to spread hezek by releasing them hefker. So he says, Akranalahu, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and remove their hooves on the bottom of their feet. Apparently, the dangerous propensity of these white mules was that they gave a kick. When they gave a kick to someone, chas v'sholom, that person might not survive. So I'm going to take off the heavy hooves on the bottom, so that they shouldn't be dangerous. He says, if you're going to do that, then they're going to be bitzar. Or katilnu, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to shoot them and kill them and finish. Ikabaltashkos, you can't do that. Baltashkos, you can use this for whatever you can use them for. Havikomavatesh beituva, he continued to pursue and persist. That is, Rebbe continued to persist in trying to get Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair to come to his house. Gova turebeinayu, eventually a whole mountain, a whole hill, grew up between the two, that he could no longer even talk to him. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nest, as he's pleading and begging, come, 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 came a tura, a mountain, and grew in between the two, so they lost communication. Bocha Rebbe, and Rebbe now cries, V'omer ma b'chayeyen, kach b'misosan, or ma b'chayeyen kach, misosan l'achas kam v'kama. You see the great tzidkis of Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair, that he was very careful about everything, kechuta sara, even about these white mules. Can you see that the schusim that he has when he's alive? Can you imagine how many even greater schusim he has? Why even greater schusim? How do I know? What's going on over here? The Chevra Kadisha was Koivrim Ish. And Rashi says this Ish, unfortunately, was a Russia. And the Chevra Kadisha is walking through the cemetery, going to the Chalik where all of the Rishoyim are. Maybe the Chalik where you had
the
Skolim and Nisrafim. Or just a place where you didn't have any great Tzaddikim. And they were going to bury him there. Unfortunately, they saw from a distance Esagdud, the enemies coming, and with all types of military, they had all types of guns and swords and knives and all the rest, and they were all very, very scared of what's going to happen to them. So what did they do? They threw down this Russia, Kev Elisha. Kev Elisha apparently was open, and they just threw the body down, and they ran for the hills. What happened now to this Russia? Vayelach v'yigoho ish batzomis Elisha. This dead person fell down to the bottom of the caver, touched the bones of Elisha Hanavi. Vayechi, and there was tchias ameisim. Vayakam araglav, and he got up on his legs, and he left the caver of Elisha. So what do I see from that? I see from that that the koyach of the tzaddikim is even greater b'misosan. Now, where do I see that was even greater b'misosan? So Rashi says, because we know from the psukim that Elisha was able to go and do tchias ameisim by the Isha HaShunamis, and cause that this child... So how was he able to do that? Rashi says that he put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes, and head on his head, and therefore he was able to
and he
revived him.
And so people thought that was artificial respiration.
Exactly, that's what some people thought. Anyway, so this is what he did, and he had to go and spend, you know, a lot of effort to get this child to be resuscitated and to be revived.
Resurrected.
Resurrected. Oh, that's the right term. Resurrected. And guess what happened over here? Here, Elisha didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to lie down on him and blow into his mouth and all the rest. And just by the fact that this Russia touched the bones, boom, that already did Chiyas Amesim. It's a chasimin that the koyach of tzaddikim misasin is even greater than b'chayim. That's what the Gemara says.
So why did they leave the caver of Elisha open?
That I don't know. The Gemara doesn't tell us why. I don't know. Maybe they left it open to be
just
able to
in case
put.
He was needed, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The rush.
Maybe they went to put the kvitlach in the cave.
Disinter the bones.
As it happened, the remains of Elisha have been buried in a particular catacomb.
Catacomb.
And
okay.
The corpse rolled until it touched the prophet's remains.
Fine.
They used to disinter the bones after 11 months.
Well, maybe this was after 11 months.
There ain't no bones of that.
Exactly.
They're buried in the
gather
up the bones. They would the end of a basra with a kuchen.
Yeah.
They would bury the body for 11 months in the ground. The basra would disintegrate. Then they would malachate the bones and put them into a crypt, into the wall of a cave. That was the burial procedure in the time of Chazal.
Anyway, bottom line is, it's what we call akasha famasa. The Russia was thrown into that caver, and then he woke up on his own, resurrected, and he Yakov Raglav. So I see from that, Gedolim Tzadikim Misasim. Omele Rapapa Labai, what's the raya? It's not because Elisha had more koyach after his passing, that he could be Mechayim Mesim without even doing anything, just lying there. Maybe it's all as a result of the brach of Eliyahu HaNavi. Dechsev, Eliyahu HaNavi blessed Elisha, you should be zochet to do double the amount of nisim that I did on this world. What was one of the nisim that Eliyahu HaNavi did? He was mechaya the case of the Isha HaTzarfis. And therefore he blessed Elisha that he should have double that koyach. And one of the times he was mechayim the Tchias HaMesim was by the Isha Shunamis. And now the second time was this fellow, this Russia that fell into his grave. So really, Elisha on his own could not have done it, because maybe I hold that ein koicham b'misasim yoisim mechayein. Only reason why this happened was because of the special bracha of Eliyahu HaNavi. So l'choy, you have no raya, gedoyla tzadikim misasim. Amalei, ihochi, if that's the case, haynesanya al raglev omad ulebeisoy leholach. That's what it says in the Braisa. We said in the Pasuk that he woke up, right, Vayichi, and then it says Vayakam Araglav. Don't think he went home, but rather after walking a few steps outside of the caver, he fell into his own caver or into another caver to be buried. So it's not that this was a full-fledged resurrection. So what he's saying is, I'm going to bring a riot to you to what Eliyahu HaNavi said. Eliyahu HaNavi said that you're going to be able to Mechayim Mesim twice. So either this Akash or is a Pshat. So Rashi says, if you're telling me that this is to be a kiyum of Eliyahu HaNavi said, just like I bona fide went and did a resurrection of that kid of the Tzarfis, the Isha Tzarfis, you already did one on the Isha Shunamis, but you're going to do two altogether. This doesn't sound like a kiyum of two altogether. You're going to resurrect and it's going to work for 10 seconds and then the guy's going to die again. It doesn't sound right. So tomorrow, okay, mask him. So you have a rayataka that the reason why he was able to be resurrected even for a few seconds is because gedoyla tzadikim misasim yeshem b'chayim. But let me ask you, el b'me'akayim, so where was the kiyum of Eliyahu's blessing to Elisha? Rabbi Yochanan shiripe tzaras na'aman shishakula kemeis, that he was able to go and give a refuah to Na'aman. And as Naaman, as you all know, he was a Metzaira. The Gemara elsewhere says that four adoyim lemeis, right? What are the four?
Ani, someone who may have children. Aniver,
Asuma.
Asuma. Right.
And a Metzaira. Exactly. So that's the Metzaira over here. He's doyim lemeis. How do I know that a Metzaira is considered to be like a mesh? And then it says by Miriam, al nosihi kames, by the fact that she got him, fortunately, tzaras, because she spoke poorly about Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, so that was the second time, the kiyum of Eliyahu HaNavi's bracha, that he was mekayim the tchias emes. Number one, on the Isha Shanamis, and number two, that he was merape the tzaras nam. Amr b'shim levi, loman nikra shimon umay yemim. We spoke about these dangerous white mules, so the Torah also refers to yemim. Where does the Torah refer to Yemim? You have Pasuk Zayin. Be'ele b'nei tzivoin v'ayov anahu anah asher motza es ha-Yemim b'midbar. He found the Yemim. Ber'oise es ha-chamoyim v'tzivoin oviv. As he was taking to pasture the donkeys for his father, Tzivayin, he found the Yemim. What type of name is Yemim? It says, Gemara, Yemim comes from the word Ema, which means fear. If you get close to these animals, everybody starts to shudder because they know how dangerous they are. The Omer Reb Chanina, because Reb Chanina said, and now Barry's going to tell us why Reb Chanina said it.
He was a doctor.
Because he was a doctor. How do I know that he's a doctor?
Because he was in his old age. He was very flexible because his mother would sach him with Shema when he was a little boy.
Beautiful. So Rashi just doesn't go into that detail, but Rashi told us five lines in the bottom. Reb Chanina, Roy Fei Hoya, he was a doctor. Anyway, since he was a doctor, he said, Miyom Lishalani Odom Al Makas Preido, Perda Levona V'choya. Poshepshad is, nobody ever came to me with a question about someone who had gotten a makkah, a kick from one of these white mules, the choya, and he lived because they all died. So therefore we're saying that that's why the Pinchas Ben Yair said that there's a malach hamavis over here, because unfortunately they all died. Frey Timora, Bok Chazina Dechaya, we have a testimony of people that got such azets from the Perda Levana, and maybe he was in bed for the next 6 months or whatever, in the ICU, but eventually they did live. How does Reb Chanina say they all died? Says the Gemara, Eima v'chayos. V'chayos means that the person was repaired or totally remedied. In other words, yes, you're right. Not everybody that gets such a kick from the white mules, Chas v'Shalom, dies, but even if he doesn't die, he could have a permanent wound that he'll never be able to move again. He'll be crippled, he'll be confined to a wheelchair or something like that. We have live testimony from people that got such a Pirda Levana and Makkah, and Baruch Hashem, after that, they were able to conduct business like in previous years. Yeah. Maybe at 6 months the guy was hospitalized, but after that we saw the Chayat. Everything more the Chivar Reish Karayu. What does that mean? That when do you say that it's a really fatal or at least a very dangerous type of situation? Only if not only they happen to be white, but Reish Karayu, the top of their legs, is also white. Those are the real ferocious ones. Not just the fact that the white mules, that's dangerous. But if the Chivar Reish Karayu, these can be so deadly, the Chas V'Shalom, the person will die, or at least they'll have a permanent wound. Never. Ein oyin muvadai is referring to the Rabbi Yishlam. Now, why we bring this ein oyin muvadai? Because this is a continuation of ein oyin muvadai. We want to talk about. We just said now that these mules can go and kill, etc. So now the Gemara wants to tell us about other dangerous things. And Nochmo Mitzvah Chanina, who was the roife, on Reb Chanina vafilu kshofim. Even if you're talking about kishif, somebody that does black magic, you should know in Oyin Muvadai, he cannot go and do it on his own. It's only if a Kadosh Baruch Hu authorizes or empowers him to do that. If Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't empower a Mechashef or Mechashefa to do their black magic, it's a gunish. I'll bring you a raya, because Hayi Itza, there was a lady, the Havaka Mahadra Lemishkal Afra Metuse Kari de Reb Chanina. She apparently was not happy with Reb Chanina. Maybe she was a disgruntled patient, that she was not patient and she had to wait an hour to go and see him. Anyway, see, this woman, this Itza, was a Mechashefa, literally, not only in the Yiddish sense of Mechashefa, but Mechashefa, she engaged in black magic. She tried to remove, through Kishab, the offer, the sand underneath the feet of Reb Chanina, so Reb Chanina wouldn't have a place to stand. Amallah. So he realized this, Reb Chanina, and he said to this lady, to this Itza, Le'mestayi Miltzach, you should know, you can go and say whatever incantations you want, it's not going to succeed. Ein oyd muvadei ksiv. You cannot do this against the Ratzon Hashem, and Hashem does not want you to be able to go and injure me or cause me tzuris, so, gunish. Frey Timur, is that really true? V'amar b'yoychanan, lama nikr shimon kishofim. How did the kshofim get the name kshofim? Because it's Rosh Hashanah. Shemakchishin pamal yeshamal. The word kshofim, the chofshin, comes from the word makchishin, and the peymem comes from pamalia, which means that they do have their own independent force, and chas v'shalom, they can go against the Ratzon Hashem if they want to go and cause somebody tzuris. No, but didn't we just say in the name of Reb Chanina that they cannot, because ein oy mulvatoi? So the Moshani Reb Chanina then afishes chusay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given koyach into the kishif to do whatever they want. However, when you have great individuals like Rabbi Hanina, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Einoin Mulvada, he's not going to let them do their evil plans, he's going to stop them midstream. V'yom Rabbi Hanina, noch a member for Rabbi Hanina, Ein Odom Nukiv Etzboil Milmata, Elim Kein Machrizen Olam Milmata, Milmala. Person will not even injure his stub, his toe, or his finger, unless the machas upstairs in Shemayim. Shenema, Me'ashem Mitzadi Geber Kainonu, V'odom Mayovin Darkoi. That HaKadosh Baruch has prepared Mitzadi Geber, the footsteps of a person, and that person doesn't even know where he's going. So Hashem is in charge of everything. You're going to a particular place, you think you know what you're doing, you think you know what you're going to do. HaKadosh Baruch has already prepared in advance, Me'ashem Mitzadi Geber. Omer Bluza, Dam Nikuf Meratze Kidam Oila. What's Dam Nikuf? If a person, in fact, has injured himself and there is blood flowing, that can be Mechaper on him like the Dam of a carbon oil. However, don't think that every time you get a little cut, that's Meratze Kidam Oila. Omerava, we're talking about Nikuf that he stubbed his Begudel Yemin, his right thumb, ubenikav sheni, and this already happened a second time, so it's extremely painful. Who took ozel dvar mitzvah, and he's on his route to go and do a dvar mitzvah. So he's on the way to do a dvar mitzvah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu has caused that he should go and have blood run from his big thumb or his big toe, and he's already banged it a couple of times. Why did Hashem allow for this? After all, he's called a dvar mitzvah. Hashem shouldn't have allowed him to have blood flowing and let him go as easily as possible. Oh, he's doing them because it's meratza like a dam oil. Getting back to Rapinchas Ben Yor for another moment, Amru Lav Rapinchas Ben Yor, Miyomav loy bet batza al prusa she'ena shaloi. Betza means to go and break bread. He never broke bread on a piece of bread that didn't belong to him. So it's about this, Rashi says, that he never wanted to have a noah from others. You see the last Rashi on the Omid, Betza, Birchas Amoiti Shalei Rotzel Lechel Kizayis Mishal Achim. So even though he would have gone to Rebbe had it not been for the white mule incident, but nevertheless, that was his rotzel. He never wanted to have a noah from anyone else. He only wanted to have a noah. It's similar to the concept of Soina Matonis Yichya. I'm not interested in other people. Just want to be Nehenam Yikia Kapai. So Miyom of Leibotza Perusa Sheini Shaloi, or Miyom Sha'omer Al Da'atai. When he made up his mind, he didn't even have a no from his father's Suda. In other words, he wanted to be totally independent, support himself, and not even rely on his family, not even on his father. With this, we concluded the Gemara. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha.